Box, box. Read, read, box, box. Read, read, box, box. Hold them in your hand, and you'll hippity hoppity clippity cloppity off to a different land. Good morning and welcome to the Roundtable, our second book pick list of the year, and we are thrilled to have the Book Loft with us. A wonderful, they're part of our family of bookstores, and they're a wonderful Great Barrington-based store, and we have one of their prized booksellers here to bring us up to date. Giovanni Bovin joins us here to tell us some of the great books now out and on store shelves, and it's a pleasure to welcome him to the program this morning. Giovanni, thank you very much for being with us. I appreciate it.
Yeah, thank you.
All right, where would you like to begin?
Let's start off with Hench by Natalie Zeno Walshots.
All right.
This one is from Pam, and this one kind of explores the superhero-supervillain dynamic from a Hench person. Anna works for a villain, and does basically office administrative work, and she kind of justifies it by it's not so different from working for a large conglomerate, an oil company, an insurance company, and she's just doing what she's got to do to get by. She has an unfortunate encounter with the so-called hero, which leaves her badly injured. And she is the lucky one compared to the other bodies strewn about. So she kind of takes on this new perspective, and it kind of challenges the role of, you know, superhero versus supervillain. And she ends up getting another job by one of the worst villains on Earth and uses her data collection skills to kind of really turn the narrative around. She becomes known as the Auditor, and kind of really rewrites the narrative of what a hero is, and it's kind of reminiscent of The Boys on Prime. That's what this reminded me of.
All right. Well, it sounds amazing. What is next?
Next, we've got The Butcher's Blessing by Ruth Gilligan. This one is set in the Irish countryside, and it follows a host of characters. Una is the daughter of a butcher, and he and seven other men kind of go across the Irish countryside and perform ancient methods of cattle slaughter, almost kind of ritualistic in a sense. And they're viewed from various angles, from Una living a life of loneliness every time her father leaves, her mother, Gra. She takes this as a life of faith. We have a non-believer, Fionn, who views the butchers as outdated, outmoded. And we also have photographer Ronan, who views them as ideal subjects for his photography until he captures a photo of a single butcher hung upside down in a pose of unspeakable violence. And Pam said this was a great story that really struggled with the lines between tradition and modernity, myth and reality, and she said it still haunts her even after several months after reading it.
Mm. Oh, that's good when you're haunted for a long time.
Yep.
I mean, I think that's a hallmark of a good book. Haunted for weeks. Okay, next up.
Next up, we've got All God's Children by Aaron Gwynn, and this is set in 1827. Its primary backdrop is Texas during the early years of its struggle for independence from Mexico, and its absorption into the United States, but we follow three characters: Duncan Lemons, a young man from Kentucky who sets out to join the Army in Texas, where he hopes to kind of start a new life and live and love as he pleases, as he sees fit. We also have Cecilia, a young slave woman who runs away so many times she eventually becomes infamous for her escape attempts, and so she is pretty much bought and freed by Sam Fisk, who's a young frontiersman on his way to Texas where he owns a homestead, and she agrees to follow him there and kind of start, they all start new lives in Texas, but there is also the backdrop of Texas itself with the history between 1827 and 1861 and its start of the Texas Rangers, the controversial history of the Native American tribes, and kind of all around these three characters trying to start a new life in this new territory.
All God's Children by Aaron Gwynn. Next up?
Next up, we have a YA fantasy, Daughter of Smoke and Bone by Lainey Taylor, and this was Sherry's pick. And this story is set in a world where angels and demons are constantly at war with each other. There are black handprints that mysteriously appear on doorways. A devil's supply of human teeth grows low. And we follow Karu, who has naturally blue hair and fills her sketchbooks with monsters that may or may not be real. And she speaks several languages, not all of them human. And she also meets Akiva, his fire-colored eyes mark her in an alley in Marrakesh. And they kind of start this relationship amidst the backdrop of this very blurred line of good versus evil, angels versus demons. And it is the first in a trilogy that was released in 2011, but has been recently reissued in paperback just last month.
Daughters of Smoke and Bone by Lainey Taylor. All right, next up.
Next up, we've got Broken in the Best Possible Way by Jenny Lawson. And this is her third book, a memoir of her dealing with her anxiety and depression and the way that she copes with that and just brings a really, really funny spin to things. She discusses her experimental treatment of transcranial magnetic stimulation with brutal honesty and also brutal humor. And she also talks about dealing with the insurance company in an open letter to my insurance company. And she has just weird experiences, like how her vacuum cleaner almost set her house on fire, how she was attacked by three bears, the business ideas she wants to pitch to Shark Tank, and why she can never go back to the post office. And there's always her, she quotes her long-suffering husband, Victor, is present throughout.
So a lot going on in her life.
Yeah. Great book for fans of her previous books, Furiously Happy, and also new readers looking for just a different voice in dealing with anxiety and depression and taking it on from a very light, humorous standpoint.
The name of the book is Broken by Jenny Lawson. All right, two more.
Two more. We got Ellie and the Heartmaker by Hazel Pryor. And this one, we meet Dan Hollis, a young man who lives a solitary life in the English country moors. And it's never explicitly addressed, but he does seem to be on the spectrum. He stays away from social situations he doesn't understand. He precisely cuts sandwiches into triangles. He counts the 17 steps to his upstairs practice room. And he carves exquisite Celtic harps. And there he meets a young woman, Ellie, who takes a walk through the woods and comes across his barn and instantly falls in love with the harps. And he gifts her a cherry wood harp to match her cherry socks, and promises to keep it safe if she ever wants to come by and practice. And so they develop this relationship, this friendship, and she gets that he's not quite like other people, but still finds a way to love him, either because of or in spite of his differences. And her marriage ends up falling apart because she discovers parts of herself that she's kept dormant and hidden until she meets Dan, and that doesn't always sit well with her husband. So she also kind of struggles with her identity as well.
Ellie and the Heartmaker by Hazel Pryor. And final book?
Final book is Killer Come Back to Me, The Collected Crime Stories of Ray Bradbury. Mm. And this is the one I picked. I love Ray Bradbury's stories. I've always enjoyed his stories. And I've read some of these before, but there are also other stories that I haven't read. And he takes on, he's written in pretty much every spectrum of genre, from the perspective of kids who are playing in the backyard and hear a woman crying out from underground and aren't taken seriously and the adults think it's all a game, to killing a robotic version of your wife and just to have some sort of outlet and then being committed, arrested for murder because robot life is still considered life.
Also confusing. Good stuff. Ray Bradbury, author of Killer Come Back to Me and great short stories. For more information on the Book Loft in Great Barrington, Massachusetts, you can visit them in Barrington. Where are you now? You've moved.
We're still in Great Barrington. We're on 63 State Road, which is still along Route 7.
Yep.
Haven't gone far, just down the road a bit.
Okay. And you can also find them online, bookloft.com, bookloft.com. Giovanni, thank you so much for being with us. It's always a great pleasure to have you on the program. A reminder that Giovanni's list is also posted on our website, wamc.org/roundtable. Giovanni Bovin, thank you very much. I appreciate it.
Thank you.
Be well. Thank you. You're listening to The Roundtable on WAMC.